Genealogy by Tim, Season 2, Episode 5, recorded May 7th, 2022. Welcome back, everybody. It's been a productive month since the 1950 census was released on April 1st. I've made a few interesting discoveries there. Also, I've had some productive conversations with Family Search Family Tree users relating to the Smith and Foley lines. And lastly, an update to the WebTree software. That's the software that powers the Family Tree portion of my website. We'll change the look of it in the coming weeks. Stay tuned for more details this month on Genealogy by Tim. So the long-awaited release of the 1950 census occurred about a month ago, April 1st. It's been 10 years since the release of the previous census, the 1940 census, and back when that was released, you know, the release of the 1950 census just seems so far away. It was hard to imagine, but the Steve Morse website, you know, even right after the release of the 1940 census, Steve Morse was right on top of it, and he was saying on his site, you know, we need volunteers to help get ready for the 1950 census, to set up enumeration districts and all that good stuff. And all that work that Steve Morse put into it was a great benefit to me, as I was able to find some of my ancestors fairly quickly based on enumeration districts. When the census is released, it doesn't come with electronic indexes. You can't reliably immediately type a name into a search bar and get a census result. All that work has to be done by, you know, either volunteers or employees of the various genealogy companies. This year was a little bit different. A lot of genealogy companies touted the use of artificial intelligence to automatically index handwritten names. That works pretty well. It's not 100% accurate, but using combinations of names and addresses, I was able to find some of my relatives in the 1950 census. And the very first people I looked for was my grandfather and his family, my grandfather Joseph A. Graham, and his parents and siblings. I was able to find them pretty quickly. At first, I had thought they had moved to Ron Street by that point, but they had not. They were still living on Hancock Street in Philadelphia. This is right across from Norris Square in North Philadelphia. I found the whole family. Well, the father had passed away in the late 40s, so he wasn't present for the 1950 census, but I did find my grandfather, his mother, and his siblings. And very interestingly, my grandfather's older sister, Sheila, her occupation was listed as U.S. census taker. And I'm even more disappointed now that she passed away earlier this year in January. I would love to have asked her, hey, Aunt Sheila, you're a census taker. Tell me all about that. What's the deal? I would love to have had her on this podcast to tell you what it was like to be a census taker in 1950, but unfortunately, she is no longer here to share that story with us. That was one very interesting find right from the 1950 census. And another is, you know, it's kind of a little more somber, but great-grandmother on my mother's side, Minnie Ann Flick, I was able to find her as an inmate at the Philadelphia State Hospital at Byberry, which is notorious for its poor conditions. And I don't know offhand all of the, you know, all the reasons that she was there. And my mother has a cousin who knows more details, so I'd like to interview him at some point to get all those details. He told me at a party once, I didn't get all the notes down, but I was like, yeah, that's very interesting, but I'd like to really get, you know, more of those details. And in addition to my great-grandmother being at Byberry, I also found an uncle of my mother's there. He died in 1952, 2 years after the taking of the census of tuberculosis, which he probably contracted there at the hospital, probably as a result of their less than ideal conditions, to put it nicely. But yeah, those were a couple interesting discoveries on my mother's side. It's, we've heard, hey, Minnie was at Byberry for a while. But this is sort of like the first time I'm really seeing it right there. Like, there she is, right in print. Now, I made these discoveries through the National Archives, the federal government's own website that it has devoted to this purpose. And one of the user features of this website is that if you find somebody that you know in the census, you are then able to update the index for that person, especially if it's, you know, if it was indexed incorrectly by the artificial intelligence, you can fix it up, you can make it right, and that will help others find your ancestors as well. And I made sure I diligently corrected all of the Graham and Anflick indexes that I came across in the hope that, you know, future genealogists will have an easier time finding it on the government's website. And of course, pretty soon, Ancestry, FamilySearch, MyHeritage will all have this indexed. But the benefit of having it done on the government site is that that will be free and open forever. So if you have the time, energy to go through the government's website to find ancestors, I would highly recommend going ahead and updating those indexes as you see it. So that will be free and open for all, guaranteed. Some early 1950 census discoveries were made this month on both the Graham and Anflick sides of my family tree. I'm sure they will be the first of many to come, and you will learn all about them as I make them right here on Genealogy by Tim. So I've had a few interesting conversations these past few weeks on FamilySearch's message system. The first is on the Smith side. Now, the Smiths, as you may recall, this is my father's maternal grandmother's family. She was the daughter of William and Elizabeth Smith, who came to this country from Ireland around the turn of the 20th century. I did not have much information on this family, the Smith family, until recently. Last summer, I put a lot of effort into organizing the FamilySearch family tree to see what came up, to see, you know, what good documents bubbled up to the surface. And what I discovered was somewhat interesting, that we may have cousins in Boston. It seems as though William's father and his other children lived in Boston. And this is what the documents were telling us, and I wasn't sure if this was true. Now, I had a second cousin once removed message me through FamilySearch back in February, trying to confirm a relationship, and I wrote back to her. I asked her, what do you think of this? Do you think we're actually related to people in Boston? Do you have any further information on this? And she said, I think we are. I actually spoke to one of our alleged Boston cousins, and I will send him your email address. And a few days after I received that message, I received an email from a Michael Smith in Boston. And he asked me, basically, do I have any information? So I think we're both kind of in the same boat here, trying to figure all this out. I don't know if he's going to have those smoking gun documents that say, like, yes, you're definitely cousin. But, like, he's looking at the same documents I'm looking at on his end. And it's like, yeah, it looks about right. Looks like we're probably related. So we have, you know, a little email thread going on here. And he is doing some research. He was about to go visit a cemetery, you know, doing basically the stuff that I was going to do. And one thing that he said to me was, absolutely, let me know if you do come to Boston. It'd be awesome to meet up. All right, so that is very interesting. Oh, yeah, he also asked me if I had taken a DNA test, and I did not write back to him yet, but I'm about to write back to him to say, no, I have not taken a DNA test, although I would be interested to do that, and that would definitely be, like, smoking gun evidence. If there is any, it would be in the DNA, whether or not we are related. So, yeah, these are things that may be coming up in the future. I'm looking to go to Boston sometime this summer, and I may meet this Michael Smith who emailed me. I'm now in email communication with this gentleman, and we'll see, you know, where the documents and the DNA end up. So, yeah, that was one very interesting contact that I had, beginning in the family search messages and then moving on to email. Another very interesting conversation popped up. There is a user, George Conley, on a family search who was making some additions to some fairly close relatives of mine, to my grandfather's mother, my paternal grandfather's mother. This is the Coors and the Foleys. And I kind of helped him out a little bit, added some more details to the things he was adding. And he wrote to me and said, hey, that's cool. Good job. And I said, yeah, all right, thanks. But then we got into more conversation, and he said that he was mainly interested in the Foley line. And I'm not sure if the Foleys have come up yet on the podcast, but if you go in my father's line, this is my father's father's mother's family. Her parents were John Coore and Julia Foley. Okay, we unpack all the names there. My grandfather was Joseph Graham. His mother was Julia Coore. Julia Coore's parents were John Coore and Julia Foley. And this gentleman, George Conley, was posting a lot of Julia Foley stuff and, you know, by extension, posting some Julia Coore stuff. And I was like, wow, that's really close. Somebody's really, you know, getting into some very close relatives of mine. I wonder how we're related. So, yeah, we wrote back and forth a couple times. Looks like he's researching my Coore and Foley relatives as kind of a collateral family. He said that he's related to some Foleys who are buried at Holy Cross Cemetery in Yeadon, same place where my John Coore, Julia Foley were buried. So he's pretty sure there's a connection there. We're not quite sure what connection that is, but he's researching a collateral family that includes my ancestors, so we're kind of talking a few things out. But he has spurred some interest in Foley family research for me. So I spent the morning this morning just kind of sprucing up what I know about the Foleys, which is very little. Just maybe just give you the brief introduction to the Foleys, what I know about them. This is, again, this is my father's father, Joseph Graham. His mother is Julia Coore. Julia Coore's mother was Julia Foley. Her father was John Coore. Her mother was Julia Foley. And Julia Foley died very soon after Julia Coore, my great-grandmother, was born. And I believe it was stomach cancer, but Julia was only a wee baby. And then after Julia Foley died, John Coore married Mary Comey, and Mary Comey sort of became the mother figure of the family. Julia Foley's parents were Edward Foley and Mary Mahoney. And Edward Foley died young in the 1860s. He was buried in the St. Michael's Churchyard. Interestingly enough, in the 1880s, the St. Michael's Church, this is on 2nd Street in North Philadelphia, or is it Kensington? Kensington, North Philadelphia, that area. In the 1880s, that church underwent an expansion, and it expanded into the churchyard cemetery. And poor Edward had to be unearthed in the 1880s, and he was reinterred at New Cathedral Cemetery on 2nd Street, North Philadelphia. When his wife, Mary Mahoney Foley, died in 1895 or so, she was buried with him at New Cathedral Cemetery. And the parents, Edward Foley and Mary Mahoney, had, as far as I know, three daughters. one of whom was Julia Foley. She was born New Year's Day, 1864. Okay, but she also had two older siblings. One of them was Catherine, who was born in 1860. One of them was Mary, who was born in 1861. And I know very little about Catherine, but I know more about Mary. When she grew up, she married a Dennis Gannon. They are buried at Holy Cross Cemetery as well. And I'm just discovering by putting together the family in Family Search Family Tree, someone has done a lot of work on the Gannon family. But they weren't able to place the Gannon family in with the Foleys, so I was able to help with that. So this is all spurred by some messages that I received from Mr. George Connolly, who's doing work on the Foley family. So now I'm kind of into it, all right? It's interesting how, you know, little messages pop up, and then you kind of bounce around your family tree and say, hey, well, what do I know about that? And then I go back and make some updates and go back and research a little more. So there's been some Foley activity over the past couple weeks. If you're on FamilySearch.org, you can check out the additions that I've made. And many thanks to Patty Lechner and Michael Smith and George Connolly for, you know, helping me out. And hopefully they learn some interesting things as well. For our final segment this month, I'd like to share an update on the software that powers the family tree portion of my website, and that would be the WebTree software. They've recently come out with their software version 2.1.1, which supports whitelisting of media files. Now, I'm not sure if, you know, maybe the software always supported whitelisting, or maybe I'm just figuring out how to do it the right way, but in the past I was not able to do this, and now I am. I believe a software update made this possible. And here's the situation. The family tree portion of my website does not have any media files on it. And the reason for this is it's hard to keep track whether I have permission to post various things. If you download something from Ancestry, you're not supposed to upload it elsewhere. If you download something from FamilySearch.org, you're not supposed to upload it elsewhere. People give me pictures all the time. I don't want to post things without their permission. So my solution to this so far has been to just not have any media files at all on my website. The hope had always been in the future that I would be able to whitelist certain media files that I know I have permission to post. And it looks like, you know, that functionality may be here and ready to use on my website. So it gives me a good incentive to, you know, go through all my media files, see which ones I have permission to post, post the ones that I do. So you may see, you know, a lot more original documentation, a lot more colorful photographs on the family tree portion of my website in the near future, especially as the summer's coming up and I'll have, you know, substantially more free time to do family history stuff. And that just about wraps up the episode. I'm not quite sure what's going to happen this month. I've got a lot of work obligations. This school year's coming to a close, as well as my night school work. I hopefully will have a master's degree within a month's time. But there's a lot that I got to get done over the next couple weeks. Not sure what I'll have for you next month, but, you know, something always comes up, and when it does, you'll hear about it. And until then, keep on digging. Your next family history adventure awaits. Mm-hmm.